Oh.
Give it a shot.
Yep.
Good afternoon, this is Rachel Quinn. It is 1:31, and I'd like to resume our Oregon Board of Accountancy Qualifications Committee meeting after that brief recess. Let's do a quick roll call and see who we have on the line now that we've been able to resume. So, Megan, are you joined again?
I am, thank you.
Well, and Steve, I heard you. Haley? All right, Haley Fish? Oh, all right. Zane Selbeck?
Yes, hello.
Hi, Zane. Yvette?
Yes, I'm here.
Wonderful. And Michael Smoop?
I'm here.
Oh, we officially now have a quorum, but I'll keep on going. Ryan Kramer, I have down as absent, just confirming he's still not joining us. Michael Smith? And Rebecca Griffith. Okay, well, we have just a quorum, so let's get started. And applicants, I'll just do a roll call of who was on before. Kelly Vinglin?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, wonderful. And Mae Johnson?
Yes, I'm here.
Wonderful. And we had your supervising CPA on previously. Has she joined us again? Nope. Okay, that's fine. KJ Nish? Sarah Damari?
I'm here.
Cool. Hi, Sarah. Any other applicants?
Katrina Bywater.
Katrina. Anyone else? Any other supervising CPAs or others joining the call just to listen in? All right. So let's go ahead and get started. And I think I heard, and just to confirm, staff on the line. Did I hear Julie?
Yes.
Hi, Julie. And Stacy?
Yes.
And is Kim back, or is Kimberly back, or is she?
No, she's going to continue working unless we need her.
Okay. Wonderful. All right, well, let's dive in then. I think I had a request for Michael Smoot to go first, if that is okay. But Michael, you are the sixth person, so until someone else joins, if there's any way you could stay on, we would really appreciate it. Otherwise, we're not going to have a quorum.
Yeah, I can go ahead and stay on the line till that point.
Someone else join us?
Hi, this is Rebecca Griffith.
Oh, Rebecca, wonderful. Well, there you go, Michael. Now we've got seven.
That worked out.
All right, so I'm going to hand it over to Michael to talk about, and it sounds like Kenneth goes by KJ, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, go ahead and get started.
Perfect. So just a quick kind of update reminder from last time. We had deferred his application for competencies B and E. In competency B, we had made the request of additional example to demonstrate his understanding of critical success factors, as well as a little bit more documentation on his understanding of the industry and specific regulations within that industry. So I guess I can kind of speak to that part first. So he has made updates to his application, and one thing I'd like to add is after giving him the feedback, he was very appreciative and jumped right on making the edits to his application. So it looks like paragraph 3 and 4 of competency B, he's updated his narrative to speak more specifically to an example of a critical success factor that, in kind of his understanding and less of what the company identifies and more his identification. And then in paragraph 4, he speaks to the Durbin Amendment and kind of what impact that has on the industry. So then moving to competency E, we made the request to include some examples where KJ was actually identifying potential areas of risk and not just company-identified risk, as well as some risk to the financial statements and what they did to address that. So he has made edits to his narrative in Competency E, and it was like paragraph 5, 6, 7, and 8, where he has added some additional context of areas that he specifically recognized potential risks to both the accuracy and completeness within their reporting. So with that, I'd like to open it up to any additional feedback that anyone in the committee has.
This is Casey. I thought the updates were good. So I was pretty satisfied with the changes that were made.
Are there questions or feedback? All right, Michael, would you like to bring forward a motion?
Perfect. With that, I move to find that there's sufficient evidence to make a preliminary finding that KJ Niche has demonstrated the competencies necessary for initial licensing per OAR 801-010-0065.
Is there a second?
This is Casey, I'll second.
What was that? Casey Cameras.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Great, motion approved. Congratulations. And thanks, Michael.
No, thank you. I appreciate the flexibility.
Oh, no, I'm glad you're able to join again. All right, so let's move on to current applications. One thing I noticed that I did not do at the beginning of this meeting was to review the agenda, but we've in fact already covered part of it. So, with the report of board action, discussion of staff transitions, MOU renewals. We'll go through our current applications and deferred applications as we usually do, and then also talk about the one open committee member spot. Are there any additions, revisions to the agenda as proposed? Okay. Wonderful. Well, let's move on to Zane. I believe you're covering Kelly's application.
Yes, I am, and it sounded like I believe Kelly was on the phone as well. Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
So I did review Kelly's application, and we were actually able to sync up on the phone and go through her first narrative, and I was able to give her some feedback, and she was very receptive and responsive to making some changes to add some detail throughout. I think in our initial discussions, it was very evident that she was able to very easily articulate the experiences and qualifications throughout each of the competencies. So that went very well. So what I'll do is I'll just run through all of the areas as normal here quickly, and let me know if I'm taking too much time, and I know we're delayed a little bit due to the not having a quorum. So Kelly passed her CPA exam January 7th of 18, the ethics exam March 18. Of 2018. She's got 62 months of experience working for Co-host Services, reporting directly to the CFO, Don Stanton. So she does meet the requirement for being directly supervised by a CPA, and she had daily interaction, which was documented very well in her narrative, with Don Stanton. If I moved on to start with competency A, I think it was evident throughout her narrative that she understood the internal code of professional conduct. She had examples in there of integrity, talking about how protecting confidential information is a cornerstone of co-host company, and also some examples demonstrated declining some requests of other managers to smooth expenses over periods, which wouldn't be in accordance with GAAP. And she as well had an example of objectivity and independence through the accounting team's discussion of compensation not being tied to financial performance and separation of duties. And in the area of professional judgment and due professional care, she definitely demonstrated that in her discussion around gathering invoices for prepaid expenses and her due professional care by not hesitating to request more information or support from managers for unusual transactions. So I didn't see any gaps for, I felt all qualifications were met on competency A. And I'll move on to competency B unless any other questions. And just to check for the sake of time, is that an adequate level of detail? I don't want to hold this up since I know we're running short.
This is Casey. Sorry, I just wanted to give a little bit of feedback here because it sounded like you were asking for some feedback. For competency A, I didn't really see where it addresses integrity beyond the manual or objectivity. I kind of just didn't get there, I guess.
Sure. Were you looking at the revised narrative or the original one? I just want to make sure because I know you added some additional examples.
Yes, it is the revised one.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. So under integrity, you know, I felt like that was demonstrated through her example of declining the request of other managers to smooth over expenses. So I felt like that was, and then obviously she talked about the discussion of protecting confidential information, and that also that integrity was a cornerstone of the Coho company, kind of demonstrated in their training, which was something we spoke about. So that was how I felt like I got there in integrity. And did you say objectivity? Was that another question you had?
Yes.
So objectivity, I felt like she had covered through her example of the discussion of the accounting team's compensation not being tied to financial performance. And then as well, she had some discussions in there throughout around rotation of duties across multiple companies in order to maintain objectivity in job roles and in her role specifically.
Okay. I guess for me, like, this was just written in a different way. Like, I'm very used to saying, I demonstrate this piece of the competency through this. And then, you know, just the way it's laid out. So, I mean, I can see what you're saying, but I definitely feel like it wasn't as explicit as I would have hoped, and maybe not as much information as I would have hoped. As well.
Yeah.
And I could probably get past that.
Okay. Yeah, and that is something that Kelly and I talked about, and I think the majority of the areas where she added more detail was probably in the competencies below. Okay, competency B, you know, understanding the internal workings of the business, I think she demonstrates throughout that she has a good understanding of the hospitality industry and the external environment and business factors. I know in our discussions as well as her narrative, she covered through her explanation of how the economy relates to the success of the hospitality industry and involvement in considering economic stability in regards to budget and planning was discussed. For understanding objectives and goals, she demonstrated that through explanation, again, there on the economy and success of the hospitality industry. And for the performance measures side of that in relation to the goals, she had a discussion around the analysis of ADR and TripAdvisor status, and also through the owner's report creation, comparing actuals to budget. In regards to critical success factors, she demonstrated that in a description of revenue, payroll, and calculated occupancy RevPAR rates, and a weekly review of success of filling, success of filling available rooms, as critical success factor in that industry. And then related to that in the economic and regulatory trends, she had a good discussion on the economy, also through involvement in regulatory transient tax filings and payments to the state of Oregon, which were the responsibility of Kelly. So I'll pause there on competency B if there are any questions. Okay. Moving to competency C. She had a demonstration of summarizing, you know, data and grouping data within recognized categories throughout her creation of the financial statements, which is part of her job responsibilities, and then as well as the cover sheets for balance sheet accounts for their external CPA. She demonstrated an analysis of financial accountancy issue through the parking revenue issue example and the materiality of the differences discovered and deferred lease calculations. I think the collection and summarization of financial data was also demonstrated throughout the creation of her annual financial statements for the six companies the applicant was responsible for. In regards to alternative conclusions, she demonstrated that through analysis of parking revenue issue and materiality of the difference was discovered and the deferred lease discussion as well. In regards to being able to trace information from source data and draw similar conclusions, she had examples on inclusion of source data and cover sheets for external CPA to aid in tracing data, and the external CPA reaching the same conclusion for her deferred lease scenario example. So let me pause there. Are there any questions on competency C? Okay. Moving to competency D, understand transaction streams information systems. She did have a detailed explanation of the monthly sales journal entry and data used to back up the entry. She had some description of inherent controls and SOD enforced by the system and around the flow of transactions and limitations of the system. She also gave an explanation of the MAS 100 system and some potential improvements that could be systematically governed to improve controls for the organization. Around testing of substantive testing, she had discussion of analytical procedures around bank recons, recalcs throughout a couple of the sections. In the written conclusions, she had demonstrated through her analysis of system control issues, around written conclusions of which specific controls were missing or ineffective, she had demonstrated some examples of the analysis of system control issues and the senior accountant having too much access. And she also discussed measures taken to corroborate data accuracy through her demonstration through the GL to purchase log example. So let me pause there on competency D. Any questions?
This is Casey. I did have some comments on this piece. And one thing that stood out to me, and I don't know that it's an issue, but in multiple places she states, I would suggest kind of these changes. I wasn't sure, were these suggestions made or weren't they? And that might be not a significant issue, but it was a question I had. And then also in this piece of the narrative, I didn't feel like it really got to the heart of the requirement, specifically the aggregation of information into the organizational level and then how those transactions impacted the firm as a whole. And then it, you know, specifically, unless I missed something, it really is only talking about this document system, right? So the electronic document filing system. So I was wondering, you know, are there other, does she have other experience with other, you know, information systems that could be added to this narrative? I guess I was just kind of missing the variety in this piece, and I'm also missing the bigger picture aspect. Like, it's great to have, find these, you know, issues with internal control and, you know, to be able to bring those out, but this question is also trying to get to that sort of higher level question.
Yeah, did you see the discussion around Sage MAS 100 as their financial accounting system?
Oh, yes. Okay, so just got that piece. Sorry, I missed that. It wasn't.
No worries. And I guess there was some other discussion here, and I'm just kind of taking a peek back at her narrative as well, around kind of the processes for how things get into the system and the approvals by managers prior to entering financial journal entries and transactions into the system. And then, so she I think the example you're talking about around DocuLink was more after our discussion of she tried to add some additional detail around overseeing the implementation of that. Mm-hmm. But I think the majority of the of her work is probably more related to MAS 100 being the GL, and that's where she's working to code to generate reports and pull data pools to create financial statements, because that's what the GL is generated out of. So this is one, and you probably saw, I don't know if in the revised narrative version you got, I know there was a lot, we talked through this one that I think I had similar comments that we wanted to see a little bit more in here, and I know she added all the bolded sections were added in. I'm not sure if the version you have has the bolded sections in it.
Zane, this is Megan. I guess, and Casey, when I looked at paragraph 5, where it really talked about, you know, the entering of the AP docs, then running a general ledger, then reviewing at the expense caption item for that variance analysis, I was kind of able to get there, but I agree, when I first read the write-up, that was the lingering question that I wasn't sure if we were going to get there, and then when I kind of circled back to that paragraph 5 and reread it, I thought, I think that this gets to it in a bit of a roundabout way, to your point, Casey, but I was ultimately able to get there.
Right, and I do think, I don't know if I can get there based off that paragraph. I mean, just rereading it real quick, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, look at the GL, look at the person's logs, make sure they're complete, then generate the financial statements, but there's no discussion of, like, okay, but then what does that mean, I guess? I mean, how does that impact the organization? I guess just the discussion from the GL point up, there's maybe a little bit about financial statements, but then there's really nothing, you know? And I feel like in this competency, it's really trying to get at that higher level question. So I don't know that it addresses it enough for me personally. But.
Got it. Okay. I was looking at it more from an aggregation of data from a sort of transactional level up to a financial statement caption level. So mm-hmm. I probably misunderstood the concern.
Yeah. I mean, I think I was interpreting a little bit more how Megan was. I understand your commentary. I mean, I think that makes sense. Do you think that in some of the other areas, I know there's some discussion around generating the financial statements for various companies and then the roll-up, I think, consolidation. Did any of the other areas, I guess, get at the heart of what I think you're sounding like is how, I think your issue is how do you go from the data flow from the beginning, being approved, you know, things input into the system, and then how are the financial reports generated thereafter? Is that kind of the gap? I just want to make sure I understand, because if we're asking for a revision, that we're just clear on the ask.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I haven't thought about it enough, but I mean, I think I can probably get there from other areas of the application. So I'll just say that.
Okay.
You know, because if I'm the only one that's having an issue with it, obviously, you know, then that's not a significant thing.
Okay. Well, let me keep going through, and then we'll see where we land. Maybe we'll have some other discussions in the last couple of areas.
Okay.
So why don't I move then to competency E. Risk assessment and verification skills. So I did see some examples here around specific procedures, pinpoint weaknesses to conclude on whether the finances were accurate. I think she had examples of the bank recons and balance sheet accounts of the financials, and then also the financials being compared to the budget and prior year as a litmus test. Evaluation of risks and misstated financial data within the company. She had some examples around fraudulent sales discussions, which I thought address some of those risks. And then she demonstrated some tests around substantiating data accuracy in the bank recons, balance sheet recons, and expense accrued liabilities, supported by invoices from outside vendors for existence and period, and then as well receivables and payables supported by monthly aging and reviews and loans and interest supported by the amortization schedule.
Okay.
think from a conclusions perspective being drawn from the results, I think she had demonstrated that through the process of, you know, sending those reconciliations and all of the support for all the ending balances to validate the financial statements were fairly and accurately presented. So let me pause on competency E. Any questions or commentary here?
Yeah, Zane, this is Rachel. I'm in the second paragraph on account balances, and there's a sentence that's just leaving me hanging. Next
sure,
class, I completing the reconciliation with few variances, I was blank.
Sorry, let me jump down here.
Oh, that's okay. So on page 13 of the PDF file. While you're doing that, I mean, generally, and I don't know if anybody else felt this way, I had kind of a hard time understanding enough detail what kind of analyses were done to identify, like, just to take a set of financial statements and really kind of think about risk from a high-level standpoint and a low-level. Are there specific assertions that are more or less risky, et cetera?
So. I agree. This is Casey. So I have the same issue. The way it's written, it seemed to me that there's a lot of reconciling, some, you know, testing, I get that piece. But then there's these two very, very short paragraphs, each of them presenting a risk that seemed very after the fact, that this wasn't actually like a, you know, blatant risk assessment project, which I understand, but that the two risks that were identified were somewhat kind of after the fact. And not leading into a project, and this is under that account balances heading. So I didn't get a feel that the risk assessment was done in the way the competency asks for it to be done, or at least displayed that way.
I think that's fair commentary. I think this was one of the original gaps in discussions Kelly and I had around talking about assertions and risks, and I think she had added in these couple of paragraphs here to try to get there. So do we feel like the consensus is there needs to be more detail around risk assessment procedures and thought process and financial statement assertions? Is that kind of a commentary?
That I would agree with that.
Yeah.
This is Megan. I agree as well.
Okay. Anything else on that one? Okay, competency F. I think she had some good examples in here, analyzing accounting data through the weekly review of cash flow and check payments, comparison of budget to actuals, and prior year on any major fluctuations for sales variances. And then also involvement in her review of the annual budget financial statements. From a problem-solving skills perspective, I think she had an example in here on the breakfast sales example. And then identifying significant trends for the company. She did have an industry trend example discussed throughout this section. As far as impact of trends on short- and long-term basis, I felt like she had demonstrated that or at least discussed that through the monthly versus annual budget reviews and fluctuation discussions. Interpret impact of trends on financial reports of the company. She had a tourism trend impact described. The one piece I think was maybe light here, and I'm curious to hear other people's interpretation, was kind of conducting and concluding on technical accounting research. So let me pause there and see what other thoughts people had on competency F.
Yeah, I think you were spot on with the technical accounting research. I mean, she mentions it in the last paragraph, but doesn't really go into a lot of detail around what the technical research was, what sources she looked at. I mean, there's a mention of Portland Business Journal. That's not exactly a authoritative accounting source. So I'd be interested in seeing a bit more discussion around technical accounting research and if, you know, there were ever any ASCs she had to look up or interpret, EITFs, et cetera. That's a piece that I felt like was missing here.
Okay. Okay. All right. Moving to competency G. I think she demonstrated her involvement in the written financial reports and discussing the significance, throughout her job responsibilities as a scribe, producing the financial statements for the six entities, for the management team, also communicating the managers the results of those financials, as well as providing cover sheets to summarize information for external auditors as well, CPAs. She did have an example of a contrary position with the invoicing after close, and she had demonstrated, I think, the significance, her ability to provide written and oral presentations of the financial information and accounting conventions through her preparation of the financials and communication to management and hotel managers. And as far as applicable accounting rules, she had an example on a gap expense position she described, and for an alternative conclusion, she had an example of the expense accrual example. So let me pause there on competency G, see if anybody else has any commentary.
And this is Megan. I guess I did have a question. When I read through, I did a refresher read before today's meeting, so it's been a while since I in-depth reviewed this, but it looked like that overall it was pretty well written, but the examples used for summarizing and communicating were mostly facing the field. I didn't see much upward or executive-level communication, like presentations to the board of directors or anything of that nature. I'm not necessarily saying that's what it takes to achieve.
Right.
I'm just wondering if that's something that you guys discussed.
Yeah, it is. I think we did actually discuss that. And, part of it, I think, was the nature and size of the company and her direct involvement and reporting to the CFO. And I think in those manager meetings, was a lot of, based on our discussions, where she had kind of done those presentations and discussed accounting issues or talked management through the financial statements she'd compiled. But we didn't talk, I guess, about if she had done any higher level, financial presentations to a board or anyone like that.
Okay.
So I know Kelly's on the phone, and I'm not sure if she's allowed to chime in on that, or if we want to just take that down as something you would expect to see or you would like to see some further clarification on.
I think if Kelly's on the line, it would be great to hear her take on it.
Hi. So I didn't present to the board. However, every month I would email... After I emailed Don the financial statements with supporting documents, I also emailed financial statements to the president, the chairman of the board, and then copied Don on them. And if they had questions, they came directly to me with the questions. So I would work with them individually, and then the president and the chairman of the board presented to the owners. And I also sent out the weekly owners report to the owners, and which included members like the chairman of the board and the president as well.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
So it sounds like that's something that could be easily captured. So I guess we're through the most of it here, and I've got notes here in competency E. To have a little bit more detail around how assertions are addressed and essentially a little bit more elaborate discussion around risk assessment. In competency F, I think the consensus was seeing a little bit more clear or direct example on technical accounting research. And then in competency G, summarization of the upward communication that she just described, I think, to the board or to the president of the board there. Was there any other commentary?
Doesn't sound like any. Would you like to make a motion?
Okay. And I move to defer the application for Kelly Vinglin pending the three areas aforementioned for modification of the narrative.
And is there a second?
I'll second. This is Casey.
All in favor of deferral as discussed, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Any abstentions? All right. Thank you. Let's move on to Mae Johnson. Is Michael Schmidt on the line?
He was a reviewer.
It doesn't sound like it. Is there anyone who is going to be making a motion on behalf of Michael?
I'd be willing to make a motion to approve. I personally thought it was a very strong application.
Thank you, Casey. I appreciate you stepping in and being willing to keep this process moving along. Do we need to have any dialogue about May's application before Casey makes a motion? Well, the one question that I had, and I'm glad May's on the line, there is an example in competency B of, and I'm opening it now, about the annual meal study. And May, would you mind briefly explaining that?
Sure. Yeah, so we do an annual meal study, and we do that with our outside consultant, Deloitte. And so it's a way for us to determine what exactly in our meals and entertainment accounts are truly 100% deductible versus 50% deductible, because we found that a lot of the things that go into the meals and entertainment accounts can be fully expensed for tax purposes. And so my part here is I worked with Deloitte to find a lot of sample invoices to review and to put together, so we knew the exact rate of the amount that was in the account that we could deduct as a deduction for our tax expense.
Thank you. That was helpful. I appreciate you walking that through. Any other questions for May? All right, Casey, would you like to make a motion?
I would love to. Thank you. I move to find that there is sufficient evidence to make a preliminary finding that Mae Johnson has demonstrated the competencies necessary for initial licensing per OAR 801-010-0065.
Is there a second?
Rebecca, I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Rachel, this is Megan. I'll abstain.
Okay. All right, motion passes. Well, in the interest of respecting the time of the applicants on the line, I'd like to move to Katrina's application. So, Rebecca, are you ready to discuss that?
Rachel, could I interrupt you for just one moment? Was that Megan who abstained? We just need a reason for abstention.
Sure. I'm employed at Lithia Motors, which is the same company that Mae Johnson is being licensed under.
Perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
Who worked with
Katrina? That's all right. Yep. There you go. Okay. So Katrina gained 3 years of supervised experience at Pacific Retirement as an accounting manager. She's worked there for a total of about 9 years. She has demonstrated lots of experience in preparing, supporting, evaluating financial statements,
reviewing technical issues, including issuance of debts, understanding controls, and lots of work preparing budgets. Her narrative gives a lot of examples of how her experience takes the competencies. Her initial narrative was a little short on detailed explanation, and you do have the revised narrative, and you can see all the additions and expansions she made in bold. And we discussed, you know, doing that to really deeply show her depth of experience and understanding, and that was pretty much across all the competencies. Due to a timing issue on our side, Katrina really had a very short time to make these extensive revisions and was really diligent about doing that and really wanted to improve her application. So she's pretty excited to keep this licensing process moving forward. We went through about two rounds of revisions. I think the revisions were good and on the right track, but interested in giving Katrina the chance to have some feedback from the rest of the committee to see how much comfort everyone was able to get with their competencies as written. So I'll go ahead and open it up for conversation.
This is Casey. I'll just say I thought the application was pretty good. There was a couple areas where I thought it was mildly could use more detail, more information. That was competency E and F. But overall, I mean, I was convinced. So.
Okay. Any other feedback, questions, concerns? Rebecca, would you like to make a motion?
I would.
I move to find there is sufficient evidence to make a preliminary finding that Katrina Bywater has demonstrated the competencies necessary for initial licensing for OAR 801-010-0065.
Is there a second?
This is Megan. I'll second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Thank you. And let's see. Our last current applicant is Megan's applicant.
Perfect.
Umar? I'll hand it over to Megan. Megan?
Perfect. Thank you, Rachel. So this candidate, Umair Sheikh, is a financial reporting manager at Novartis Services, which operates in the pharmaceutical industry. Novartis is headquartered in Switzerland, and the candidate works in one of their U.S. branches in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So the candidate's direct supervisor is Jonathan Savage, who is the associate director of financial reporting for this branch of Novartis Services. And I had an opportunity to connect with Jonathan Savage to discuss in further detail the nature of the supervisory relationship between Jonathan and Umair. And based on that discussion, I was very comfortable that there was a close relationship. They worked in close proximity, within the same building, within the same floor, et cetera. The nature of the supervision is that he's responsible for review of all work prepared by the candidate, as well as performance reviews, and that in the performance reviews, each time it receives exceeds expectations. And the company encourages licensure. They provide CPE courses, et cetera. So overall, it seemed like that supervisory relationship was functioning as we would expect it to be. So the candidate's work duties include, on a regular basis, preparation of the monthly financial packet, month-end account reconciliations, preparing budget to variance analyses, and responsibility for SOX 404 controls in his area of responsibility, as well as testing on a kind of rotational peer basis SOX 404 peer reviews. So upon receipt of the initial narrative, there was an overall lack of depth in most of the examples and explanations throughout. So I provided comments back to the candidate and his supervisor and had a phone call to discuss the follow-up questions, et cetera. So Mr. Sheik revised the narrative and provided back to Julie on the due date. And while there was significant improvement over the initial draft, there were some key areas that I still felt needed some additional support and documentation in the write-up, and I'll go through those first, starting with competency B. So while the candidate did describe several internal success factors, such as accuracy of financial statements, budget variance analyses, and pressure from regulators to keep prices on pharmaceuticals in check, it was, though, outside of that, difficult to tell how someone external to the business or the industry would really take a look at Novartis systems and say, hey, gauge the overall health, I guess, of the organization and how they performed in comparison to their peers. On competency D, while there was discussion of logical access within the system, that did discuss segregation of duties considerations, and there were talks of approved workflows, et cetera, for cash disbursements, the narrative didn't really address for me examples that the candidate's understanding of the aggregation of transactions at that financial statement level and the overall reliability of the underlying data. So I thought it needed a little more documentation in that area. Competency E, overall, I thought that there was improvement from version to version and how it related to the accounts payable process. What I wasn't quite sure about is that the discussion on risk assessments for the account discussed classification between high and low risk, i.e. the provision and for revenue deductions, et cetera, but it didn't have a description of how the candidate adjusted his approach to help address those risks. And then finally, for competency F, while there was discussion on the variance analysis for inventory turnover, it wasn't really articulated what a standard ratio level would be for these areas, so what would be normal versus abnormal in that situation. And so with that, I'll go ahead and open it up to the group for additional commentary.
Megan, would you just mind summarizing? So you expressed concerns about which competencies?
Sure. So B is in boy, D is in dog, E is in elephant, F is in Frank.
Excellent. Those were exactly the ones that I had jotted down to follow up on. So I'm
okay. All right. Any other questions or comments from the group?
Oh, you know, one other thing, Megan, I would mention is that on the PDF on page 16, and this happens very frequently, the supervisory activity discussion appears to be written to summarize the candidate's activities rather than the supervisory oversight of Jonathan. But I believe that there's sufficient documentation back on page 9 to cover that. But it might be worth, if the candidate's going to be making some edits anyways, to go through, delete that, and just kind of copy paste or fill in information in that subsequent section.
Perfect. Absolutely. Thank you. Okay. With any other discussion? Okay. With that, I move to defer the application of Umair Sheik pending additional documentation of competencies B, D, E, and F, as well as updates to the overall supervisory duties section in the additional documentation area.
Thank you, Megan. Is there a second?
This is Casey. I'll second.
Casey, all in favor, say aye.
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 Oh. Abstentions? Motion passes. Thank you.
All right, do we have, so there are three remaining deferred applications. I believe I heard Sarah on the line. Are there any other applicants on? All right, so in order to respect Sarah's time, I will go ahead and move to her application. As you may be aware, Jenny Groupie has rolled off the committee from our previous meeting. So on her behalf, I'm going to be following up on Sarah's application. If you remember, her application was deferred for competency A because the committee felt that competency A lacked application within her daily job and instead was more compared to an employee handbook. So the committee asked for more detail around the application of concepts and processes within Ms. Damari's daily job activities. And so her revised narrative actually was not in the thumb drive that was mailed out, but her revised application was sent out in an email to the committee dated June 7th. Hopefully the members have had a chance to review that. Revisions were made to her application as noted and underlined in bold font, and revisions were made to link the areas of due professional care, professional judgment, independence, and objectivity to specific responsibilities and tasks conducted. So accordingly, I move there is sufficient evidence to make a preliminary finding that Sarah Damari has demonstrated the competencies necessary for licensing per OAR 801-010-0065. Is there a second?
It's Megan. I'll second.
Megan? All of those in favor of the motion as worded, say aye.
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 Was opposed? Any abstentions? And hearing none, the motion passes. All right, so that moves us back to Rebecca to cover Vikas's application.
So Vikas is a deferred applicant. We reviewed his application at the April meeting and deferred the application for additional documents. Additional documentation for all competencies, A through G. He attended that meeting, was provided additional feedback via email, but he did not resubmit a revised narrative, and we did not hear from him again. We believe he's pursuing licensing in another state, but as of when we were originally having this meeting, he had not formally withdrawn his application, so board staff, correct me if that has changed.
It has not changed. You're correct.
Okay, great. So with that, we still need to take formal action. So if there's no additional discussion, I plan to move to decline the application. Okay. I move to find there's insufficient evidence to make a preliminary finding that Vikas Arora has met the minimum qualifications for initial licensing for OAR 801-010-0065.
Is there a second?
This is Casey, I'll second.
All those in favor of declining the application, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, motion passes. That brings us to Brian Bortvin, which is our last application for the day. We would be handing this off to Michael Schmidt. Michael, are you on?
He had to.
Okay. Julie, have we received any communication from Michael?
I don't believe so. Do we have nothing updated? Mm-mm. No.
We had previously deferred the application pending additional documentation for competencies B, E, and F. Does anyone from the committee feel prepared to offer up a motion on Brian's behalf in Michael's absence?
May I ask a question real quick? Just to be clear, so the version that we have that we're reviewing, because this says it is the post, just want to make sure I'm not totally confused here, that this is the post-deferred narrative. So are you saying that this is the same one we had last meeting, or this has been updated? Because I thought it had been updated.
I don't have anything since you received your thumb drives. I did find an email. So, Rachel, on June 19, Michael Schmidt sent an email to you and Stacy and I. Recommend, or he included some information about Brian's application and recommended that he be approved.
Oh, okay.
So I'm digging with you.
Yeah, thank you. I was hoping that he would be on today. So, okay, here it is. All right, I found his email. I will read it on Michael's behalf.
Thank you.
Apologies for not being better prepared. Brian Borbett was deferred in our last qualifications committee pending additional documentation of competencies B, E, and F. Specifically, the committee was seeking further documentation on how the applicant understood the objectives of Crown Beverage, performance of a risk assessment, and evidence of applying an ASC. In my opinion, the revised narrative addressed these matters in a sufficient manner. Brian's application noted the performance of a risk assessment surrounding the company's scan-back rebate program, which considered the inherent risks, controls, and analytical assessment. In competency F, Brian noted application of both ASC as well as tax rules, technical research. So Mike is going to make a motion I can make on his behalf that there is sufficient evidence. The one comment that I would make is if you open up the file 4B4, Fort Fed Brian PDF, the post-revision one, those edits are outlined in underline and bold font, so you can see what revisions were made subsequent to our last meeting. So you'll see that it's just on competencies B, E, and F. You will find that additional documentation. And there's actually extensive edits in the competency E section. Good to see. All right, so on Michael's behalf, I will move to find that there is sufficient evidence to make a preliminary finding that Brian Borbett has demonstrated the competencies necessary for initial licensing per OAR 801-010-0065.
This is Megan, I'll second.
Is there any discussion, questions, concerns? All right, hearing none, we'll go ahead and take a vote. All of those in favor of the motion to approve Brian's application, say aye.
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 And those opposed? And any abstentions? All right, motion passes. So we've now, out of order. We've had our report of board action. We've done the current applications. We've discussed deferred applications, staff transitions, MOU renewals. One other comment that I would make is with Jenny rolling off of the committee, we do have an open position. And I believe it was either Julie or Stacy emailed out a listing of potential candidates for the committee, individuals that had expressed interest during one of their renewal periods. Stacey, Julie, anything to say about that?
No, those are all, that's a list of everyone who has expressed recent interest. So we now, starting in 2017, we started asking on our renewal applications if you're interested in serving on a committee and then, you know, which committee. So it can be very direct, you know, what their interests are. So that report was taken directly from renewal responses.
So then my request to the committee members, so I always say many hands make light work, so if there are any of these individuals who've expressed interest that you are familiar with and that you feel like would be a great addition to the committee and we can discuss their potential interest, please let Julie and myself know and we can kind of target some recruiting efforts. If nobody is familiar with any of these individuals or doesn't have a recommendation, then we will probably select someone more at random. So that would help fill our committee spots.
And can I add the timeline? If if we, all we need really is a resume or something like that from any interested licensee or party. And if we have that in advance of the board meeting, we can have that approved at the board meeting on August 24th.
Wonderful. So that can be a pretty quick process. So please take a quick look and get back to them before then.
Thank you.
Any other discussion topics, things that we need to cover, requests for future meeting agenda topics? All right, hearing none, I will go ahead and adjourn this meeting. Thank you all for your flexibility today.
Thank you, yes.
Thank you.
Bye.